You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. It's nice to be back with you again. Watching all of this stuff happening on TV and how this healthcare reform, supposed healthcare reform, has been unfolding, I think we need to address this because I don't know about my listeners, Dave, or you, but this has now become absolute theater. This is reality TV on steroids, the Congress edition. I've never seen such bogus crap in my entire life. So ultimately, I'm going to say this straight up. They don't want Obamacare to go away. Let's just face facts. They love it. It becomes a means to an end for them. They can say they're going to change it and run endlessly on it to get back in. They love that. They get to get more money from their friends in the healthcare industry, from the corporate interests who've been plying them with money in their coffers. There's some article I read that, 30 hours a week that a congressman spends is spent on getting money, on begging for money. They even have this, they teach you how to ask your constituents for money when they tell people to call people around 7 o'clock in the evening when they're having dinner. I wish my congressperson would call me because I would give them a piece of my, please call me. I'll let you know exactly what I think about you. But it's not you that they care about, people. They don't care about moving the country forward. They don't care about fixing anything. They care about getting back in. And this has become a rally point for the Democrats to get their constituents riled up so they'll give them money, for the Republicans to promise as soon as we get in, we're going to do something so they can get money. And now that we are in a position where they have all three branches of Congress and the presidency, or I should say two branches and the presidency, they're doing nothing. This is they got outed the first time. They didn't put that same repeal bill on President Trump's desk to sign. They all signed off on it when it didn't matter, when they knew that it was going to be vetoed. But as soon as they actually can make a move and actually make a change, nothing, crickets. And for those three Congress people who are like, oh, I feel bad about my constituents, they're going to be kicked off of Medicaid, blah, 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 blah. Let's be real. Nothing takes effect immediately. There's nobody's going to have a change for at least 2 years on what they have now. So no one's getting kicked off. It's just, they never wanted it to change. And ultimately, the government subsists on money. The Congress subsists on money. And if Obamacare, socialized medicine, single payer takes effect, as this will, in my opinion, hasten, they're going to have a pipeline of money from taxpayers just endless in Obamacare taxes, in subsidies to the insurance companies. Well, that's a separate point. Let's just talk about the government. The government gets the money in. They don't know how to run health care. Don't look at Medicaid and Medicare, right?
They don't know how to run anything.
Exactly. So they're going to use the insurance companies as the administrators. What do you think is going to happen? Like, well, just what we've seen, where the insurance companies cry poor, the hospitals cry poor, I need more money, I can't have competition because it's not fair, the big F word. And the and the government magically will open up a vein and just, feed these people our money as taxpayers. And it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, this or this, whatever. Your money is being taken to be used against you as a patient. Now, I could see, maybe, if our healthcare system was better, if it was more efficient, if it was cheaper, if you had a catastrophic illness and they said, oh, come on in, let us give you the best care, the most advanced care possible. Let's, if it was like that, okay. But a story just came out about how out of all the developed countries, we are last in delivering healthcare, in the cost, in access. It's a joke. So let's just do the same thing and expect a different result. Let's just take more money, pour it down the drain, while we tell people we love them, and sucker them some more. How many times can we, it's like, can Lucy pull the football away and we still, on both sides of the issue, fall for this stuff? It is a conflict of interest for the insurance companies to be involved with our money in healthcare. They make their profit by denying care and picking up premiums. That's what they do. It's like, this is what they do. This is what they live for. So what they've managed to do is suck the government into thinking that if you give us more money, we will take care of the patients. We'll lower the premiums. We'll lower the out-of-pocket costs. Good luck with that. It hasn't happened for 8 years. What makes anybody think that it's going to happen now? What they did do is take the money and pay their CEOs, buy out other insurance companies that become too big to fail, and become even more powerful up on Capitol Hill. That's what they did. Now let's look at the hospitals. What did they do? They took their, we see poor people and they don't pay, so woe is us. You need to give us more money. And what happened there? Ooh, I don't know. Let's see. They got bigger. They bought out the community hospitals. They closed the rural hospitals. They bought out medical practices so they could have the only access point in town. And they raised their prices. Ooh, imagine that. So another article just came out about how the largest seven hospitals, we're talking, you know, oh my gosh. Hold on, I think I have this thing. But what's it? What's the one in Baltimore?
Oh, Cleveland Hospital.
Well, Cleveland Clinic, Cleveland. Mayo. Oh my God, Johns Hopkins. You know, the big players.
MD Iceland.
There you go. They made profits out the wazoo, and guess what? They give less charity care. So they're supposed to be nonprofits, and New York Hospital Presbyterian gives no charity care, and the nonprofit. But you don't give charity care. That's the whole point of the exercise. So what they've done is they've taken the money, they've gotten bigger, they've gotten glitzier, and they've not given better care. And they certainly don't give care to the people who are supposedly in the need of it the most. And what they've done is they've tripled and quadrupled and raised 10 times what the cost is for their services. So, okay, you tried an experiment. It didn't work. And for any Democrat who thinks, oh, we can nibble around the edges, it's total crap. Oh, they just don't want to lose. They don't want to lose face. They don't want to admit that what they did didn't work and that it hurt people. But they're reframing it in such a way that everything that they did, they're foisting on what the Republican plan is. People have died under Obamacare. People have been priced out under Obamacare. Doctors have increased their commission of suicide under Obamacare, and medical students. The thing doesn't work. And putting more money in this thing is a disaster. Someone stands to gain, but I can tell you, it's not the doctor and it's not the patient. That's the whole point of this whole exercise, isn't it? To help people access a system, not be bankrupted, you know, live a good quality life if they have a catastrophic illness. None of that stuff's going down. Now 80% of the people who have bankruptcies are now healthcare related. They're because of their healthcare bill. And in 1970, it was 8%. You've gone from 8% being bankrupted because of their healthcare costs to like 80%. Okay, tell me, Dave, does this work for you? Because I'm kind of at a loss here.
You and I have talked about this, and I still believe that we could solve the insurance, Medicare, Obamacare, every care, by opening it up to a capitalistic system, and that would take care of it. And, you know, the silly mandate that was and betting on people under 30 to jump in and be forced to buy insurance. You know, the whole thing, I can't believe that all these Harvard and Yale graduates in Congress can't figure it out, other than the fact that they've never been where I am, they've never been where you are, they've never been where most of the public has been. But I think about three or four people I could pick. We could figure it out in a short period of time that would be fair to everybody.
Well, I think you're making a huge assumption. One, that they want to figure it out. I don't believe that that's the case anymore. I believe that they want the status quo. And they use this false left and right paradigm to keep this whole keep the ball in the air, to do the same thing, to make you think that they're going to do something different, and nothing changes. There is no reason for any Republican who's a fiscal conservative, whatever you want to call it, to have a bill that had $80 trillion, some sort of ridiculous slush fund built into their bill that would allow them to give freebies to bribe various congressmen to sign on to the bill. Alaska got money. Louisiana got money to expand their Medicaid. And that's a whole other conversation about how bad Medicaid is. Why would anybody? I wouldn't put my cat on Medicaid. My cat's vet gives better care than people who get on Medicaid. Oh, it's all about drugging people. It's all about managing an illness, never fixing a problem. It's crappy care. It's substandard care. People get treated like cattle. If they're lucky to get in to see somebody, it's 7 minutes. I've been in this situation. I've taken care of patients in a clinic, 99.9% Medicaid, 30 patients a day, in and out. I was there at 10 o'clock the first night trying to finish my notes because I was actually talking to the patients. By the time I finished that rotation, I couldn't do it. It was exhausting me. I had to play the game. Never giving them prescriptions and such, but move it along. Just, what are you here for? Don't talk about anything else. What the hell? That's not medicine. And you wonder why people are in a position where they're getting addicted to opioids. And it's because it's ridiculous, because they just write a prescription, don't listen to the patient, refill it. It's like an automatic pipeline. Has nothing to do with getting anybody better.
I can take care of Medicaid in about 2 minutes.
How?
I give doctors like yourself and many, many, I can't even name a doctor that does a show or is in here on occasion that they'll go along with this in a heartbeat. You give them security from liability, and you give them a tax break. And they're there on the front line once a week, twice a week maybe if needed, and they will open up their doors to any and everybody. No charge, no nothing.
No liability is awesome, but I don't even think that would be the driving factor. I think if you would just allow us to write off bad debt, if we agree to see a certain percentage of people free, then you give us a break on our medical malpractice insurance.
Yeah, that's
straight up. But I mean, it's not saying that you're not liable, right? So silly things or easy things that don't cost anybody anything, but actually help people get seen by people who give a damn. That's what people really want. And the folks who are the proponents of single payer, do you honestly think that somebody who's under duress, a physician, who they can't open their own practice, they've left their practice, they're miserable, do you really want those people taking care of you and your family member while you tell them it's your right?
Yeah.
To have their service? Do you really want them to take care of you? Good luck with that, because they're human, and they're not going to give a damn. And when it's 501, see you. Go to the ER. I don't have time for this. I don't care. Hell, the Hippocratic Oath doesn't exist really anymore, and the people who've come out. So, do no harm, whatever. None of that matters anymore. This is a whole nother ballgame. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Obamacare is failing, but in order to get back on the right track with health policy, people need to be informed. ObamacareWatch.org is your resource to understand what's happening with this law and what you can do to stay active, stay informed, and make positive change happen. ObamacareWatch.org. Visit us now.
Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is, this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is, Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We believe in taking care of the whole patient, because healing is more than writing a prescription. We are committed to working with you, and we specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductibles or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, we were talking about solutions about Medicaid at the break, and I was talking to Dave, and I said, you know, you can enlist direct primary care doctors, you can enlist independent doctors all over the country who would be able to take in, absorb these Medicaid patients into their practice, but we need to be paid for what we do. I left Medicaid because, one, patients never showed up. You know, 40%, 50% no-show, can't keep a practice open, but that's fine. The other part is I did my job, and I never got paid by the government. That's ridiculous. $30,000 later, I'm done, right? So if they can fix those two things, let the people who have Medicaid have some skin in the game. You know, pay a nominal fee, but $22, $5, I don't care. Something that lets them have some skin in the game. Anything that's free is not valued. I don't care what it is, whether it's a house, whether it's, you know, a job, whatever it is, it's just not valued unless you have some connection to it.
Do you happen to be familiar with the dentist at downtown that takes basically any and everybody and has set up this, and he charges $3 minimum and generally does whatever, and it's for all practical purposes a free practice.
No.
And I can't think of his name. I'll try and find. He's been on before, but I can't think of his name. And I think he has a regular practice, but he does this like two days a week or days a week or something.
That's
like
what
that.
we used to give charity care all the time. I see. I'm part of the Bridge Atlanta group. That's a group here. I don't know if they're North Georgia or Sandy Springs area, but they have a flat rate for everybody who comes in. A specialist is $45, period. If you scope them, if you do a hearing test, whatever you do, it's $45. And I think it's $25 for a primary care doctor. I dare someone to tell me that I'm robbing somebody with $45. I dare you. And most people who are working or working poor, having multiple jobs, that's something that they could actually access. Does it make more sense to use that? Or does it make sense to go into an ER, wait 9 hours, get charged $1,000, never pay it? And this is the problem, Dave. You don't even get care in an ER anymore. Back in the day, I love old TV, old school TV. I started watching ER. It was a great show. It's my favorite medical show. They did everything in that ER. Tracheotomies, delivering babies. It was awesome. Are you kidding me? What you get now is referral to your primary care doctor for follow-up. They don't treat anything unless it's maybe a heart attack, stroke, something that's really acute. Everything else, you are farmed out. They don't even treat you anymore. But they'll charge you for that visit. If they have a specialist come in and look at you, which I don't even know if they do anymore, that person will charge you, and usually they're not even on your plan. They're usually out of network. So this whole system is just a pipeline of money. Very little care given, not efficient at all. That article is right on point. because I've seen a change from the time I trained to what's going on now. It's like day and night. But the only thing that's changed, really, is the cost has gone through the roof. And you don't even know what the cost is. Anybody who goes into a hospital and they tell you, you have to do it before we know how much to charge you, you need to turn on your heel and walk out the door. Because they're going to just not even pickpocket you, just take a hose and suck the wallet out of your pocket and everything else. I mean, there's a whole cottage industry in this whole system of the monetizing of doctors and patients. There's a cottage industry from Wall Street who've come in with the health information technology. Those people are not physicians, but they figured out a way to screw us both by inserting themselves into the system. I just watched another video of somebody else who has a kiosk, who they're opening up. I think there's 700 across the country. No doctor. I think it's a virtual doctor. You go in, you put your information in, you talk to this screen, and then they give you a prescription. So this...
How can they legally dispense?
Oh, no. The CMS loves it. So there's a doctor on this video screen. It's virtual. But you're up there talking to some computer screen in Walmart, in Costco, or whatever. You're out and about. You're not in an office or anything. You tell them your symptoms. No physical exam, mind you. And they make their assessment, and then they write the prescription. And I've talked to another IT person who will have it dispensed there. So the machine will dispense the medication to you. You don't have to go to a pharmacist. You don't have to see a doctor. It's like automated medicine. This is the future, what they want, driven by Watson. You know, the artificial intelligence brain from IBM, the same IBM that worked in Nazi Germany. I have a problem with this. I don't know about you, but this is not medicine. And, of course, the people who are in the younger side of us, they think this is really trendy and cool, but it's not.
And, gee, they can never be wrong. It's 1,000% correct all
of
the time.
Of course, and when it's better than we are at diagnosing.
Is that machine's? I can sue that machine if they misdiagnose my problem?
Or they put the wrong medication in the little holder that gets dispensed. I don't know. These are all questions that never get answered until something goes down. Then it goes, well, we should have thought about that. This outsourcing of healthcare to an automated, cloud-based, Wall Street
I don't even like
underwritten
system.
Telemedicine is fine if you have a patient that's your patient. And you've assessed them, you've seen them physically, and they have a couple of questions, or that to me is reasonable. But not knowing the patient or just being there to write a prescription, that's an issue.
I did not that I'm a physician, obviously.
But your common sense.
I just read an article. I don't even know why I picked it up, but it was just interesting, of the amount of information doctors, a good doctor like yourself, can get from looking at a person's eyes and what the eyes tell a doctor. It was very interesting.
And the art of medicine, well, the art and science of medicine is actually interaction and contact. You know, sitting across from somebody, looking at their body language, touching them, examining them. That's really where you get your diagnosis. It's not just the history. Well, history is 99% of it. The rest of the confirmation, you really do need the actual cues. You know, what's driving somebody? And if you're good at what you do, you can pick up a lot of stuff, and then the physical exam is just confirmation. But this whole system is so removed. It's so antiseptic. You're just a thing, a cost center, another appointment. Takes away, to me, what makes medicine special.
Are you officially a physician? No, but I stayed at the Holiday Inn last night.
That's what it's coming to. Or I have an iPad, and I can just do an algorithm and look it up. You know, tell me your symptoms, and then you just plug it in, and then it just spits out a few diagnoses. That's really what it's coming to. But the people who are the most trained are getting to be the farthest removed. The registered nurses, the RNs, used to be the go-to people in the hospital. They were the patient giver, the caregivers, working in concert with the doctor, but they were there with that patient on the floor. They're not there anymore. They're case managers. They're part of the administration. They're doctors of nursing. They're not clinical anymore. And the people who are clinical are the least trained. I'm sorry, but it shouldn't take you 9 weeks, and all of a sudden you are on the front line of care. What do you learn in 9 weeks that took me 10 years, and I'm still learning, to do? It cannot be equal. It's not. I don't care what anybody says.
Would it have anything to do with the fact that we're all not the same?
That too.
Heaven forbid. You know? I'm not the same as the guy sitting next to me. We're all the same that are in a room, 1,000 people in the room. We're all identical.
People with the same diagnosis aren't the same, right? They respond to medications differently. The medications that we prescribe have issues with some classes of patients. You know, the average research is done on men and of usually white men. So how do you extrapolate that to kids? How do you extrapolate that to women? How do you extrapolate that to other ethnic groups, other races? You can't. So the individuality of medicine is being stripped in the to usher in every, you know, one size fits all conveyor belt medicine. And if you're an outlier for whatever reason, because you're too old, because your disease is not cost effective, then they're going to find some way to deny you care. Hospice is booming. What is it? Nursing homes are booming. And there's another thing that honestly, this is just such a horrible situation. And you don't know it until you're in it. But now they have nursing homes that have been taken over, managed, like hospitals are. So when people get in there, they're not treated properly. So, you know, someone's mom has a medical condition or an issue, but they have an underlying medical condition. They may not be treated as fast. They may not be taken to the hospital. They may be pushed out of the hospital faster than they need to be pushed out, because it's all about cost, and they're going to die anyway, or they're really debilitated. That's the mindset. It's money. It's monetization. You are a means to an end. They need you to be sick, but not too sick. Sick enough that you can come in and out and generate some income. But when you really need the high-ticket treatment, they'll do everything they possibly can to dissuade you or not even tell your family member. That also goes on. Hospice. Morphine. Morphine drip. Forget about your living will. They just ignore that. I mean, you have whole boards set up in hospitals, these ethics panels, who really do have ultimate power over your patient and over the family member. They don't talk to the family member. And somebody said, there's another doctor who writes a blog now, he said, if you have a loved one in the hospital, you need to take a legal pad in there with you, write down everybody's name who's coming in contact with your loved one, be in their face, ask them questions, and don't be afraid to exert your power. They don't want you to ask questions. They don't even tell you who they are when they walk in a lot of times. They don't tell you what they're doing. You need to be in the mix on that, because it's not the same. Because things go on now that are just, I can't even believe I'm even hearing this. I have a friend who had a kidney stone. I think I told you about this. They should have admitted my friend initially. They sent the patient home, ended up in the ICU with sepsis 2 days later. They didn't even put the patient on an IV. You have to hydrate somebody. Excruciating pain, no PCA, so you can press the button and give yourself pain medicine. No. Just sitting there with, what is it? Was it cranberry juice? In a sippy cup. Are you kidding me? On that note, we have to take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Lawyer Liz. Join me each week as we discuss drones, the Internet of Things, and all the technology in between. It's Buzz Off with Lawyer Liz, Wednesdays at 2.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this whole monetization of the doctor and patient is one of the main reasons that it's costing everybody so much money, patients, and it's costing doctors their livelihoods and their practice. If you look at all the insertion of things between the doctor and patient, compared to 1970 when you came to see your doctor, just you sitting in that office, now you've got electronic medical records, you've got these kiosks, you've got, you know, artificial intelligence where the doctor's plugging it into a computer, not even looking at you anymore.
That's like you take your car in. My gosh, they plug it into a computer and do the diagnostics on your car. So why shouldn't they do that on?
Yeah, well, that's what they think of us. That we are just. I don't know. I can't even describe what they even think about us, because one, we're not individuals. We're a disease state that should all be managed the same way and have the same outcome using the same medications in the same amount of time. And if you fall outside that paradigm or that catchment, then you get dinged. You don't get treatment. You don't get it paid for. You don't get care.
It's your fault because you're not like everybody else.
Basically. And if your doctor tries to fight for you, then they're an outlier and they get dinged. But, you know, it's up to the patient and the doctor to stop playing this game. I mean, do you really feel that you're well cared for when you see a different doctor every time you go to the hospital or to the office? Or you wait for hours and you have 2 minutes with your doctor who's not looking at you but typing on a computer screen?
I want to go, not correct you, but I want to add something to what you just said. And I literally will beg people to do a better job than I did, and everybody. Yes, it's up to the patient, but the patient may not be able to do it, so I'm saying it's up to the family.
Yeah, definitely.
Or up to your best friend.
Definitely.
Somebody out, you know, if you're really sick and you go to a doctor, you're not thinking clearly. You'd like to ask 1,000 questions, but you can't come up with them. So you take a family member, God forbid you're in the hospital, you've got to have somebody with you. You've got to have 24/7. They'll bring you, you know, maybe you're on a liquid diet, and that's when you get the steak.
That's a good point, and I absolutely agree with that. And I've seen patients come in my office, and they bring their spouse, their best friend. They want someone there that's a second ear, or someone who's going to ask the question because they're afraid, you know, white coat syndrome, whatever. I don't have a problem with that, because it should be about communication. It shouldn't be about, I know what's best for you, just do what I say and it'll all work out. If you have that feeling or if someone's doing that to you, then you need to take a step back or walk around or make your wishes heard. That's what you need to do. This is not a system that works well when it's a command center that is designed to literally work against you. Think about this on a bigger playing field. We talked about the insurance companies. Their job is to collect a premium and not pay out. That's how they make their money. That's how they keep their board happy. Well, the government's designed to pay as low as you go because it's supposed to be, you know, caretaking our taxpayer money. So they're going to make things hard for doctors and patients as well because it's not cost effective. And if they're holding the pocketbook, then they have ultimate power in what's cost effective. Look what happened with Avastin on Medicare. That's a drug that's used to treat uterine cancer. And they stopped allowing it to be paid for by Medicare because they said it doesn't really help enough people. It costs too much money. Who could argue the government? Who could sue the government? Who would have the ability to go up and say, I want my medication. I paid for this. I paid into the system. My doctor says I should have it. I want it. Nobody's going to do that. So for those folks who love single payer, imagine multiplying that mindset out across all healthcare for everybody. Your kid doesn't need the tonsil out. She'll outgrow it. Meanwhile, they have abscesses and their sleep apnea and this and this. They don't care because it's a number. It's an algorithm. We don't want to do surgeries. We don't want to do things that are routine anymore because it costs us money. How low can we go? How long can we manage something before it becomes an extreme problem that we then have to take care of? Either you've died and you don't use it, or, you know, it's cancer and it's too far advanced and they can't help you. It's just not, you want to take care of things before they become a problem. It saves you money in the long run, but that's what a doctor would tell you, but that's not what an administrator would. They only see their bottom line in front of them, not the long term. So when I tell you that, if you go to a hospital and you're being taken care of by a mid-level provider, they're going to order a lot more tests because they don't know the same physiology as a physician does. So you end up getting an extra CT, you end up getting an extra blood work, you end up getting a vaccine, you end up getting a lot of things because it's in their to-do list. Not because they think about it or have a critical thought about it, it's because that's what the hospital has set them up to do. These are the medicines that we are on our formulary. These are your choices when somebody comes in with pneumonia or whatever. And usually it's a pretty big ticket item because the hospital can make some money on that charge master. It's working against you. It's their financial objectives are not aligned with the patient. Their fiduciary responsibility as a doctor who's employed by hospital is to the hospital, not you. And for the hospital, their fiduciary responsibility is to the board members, not to you. That's a problem. That, by definition, should never be allowed to flourish. And that's what's been going on for the past, I don't know, 20 years, but really ramped up since 2009. And there's in my Facebook page, there is a graph. And it says that the number of administrators since 1970 has grown 3,000%. The number of doctors have actually stayed the same or shrunk. But the cost of healthcare has gone up through the roof as that differential has happened. Does that make sense to anybody? Administrators and regulations cause money to be, you know, the cost of anything to go up, but they don't provide a service. These are the most useless entities ever. They insert themselves, they make themselves important, just like the insurance companies. What they should be doing is covering high ticket items, catastrophic things, not whether or not you pay a copay to see a doctor for something routine, a cold. They should not be paying for that. But because they want to gatekeep, because they want to keep their money in, they're going to make it hard for you to go through every step of that system. And there's no holds barred on what they do. So if if Anthem in Georgia decides, and they definitely wrote about it, if they decide they're not going to pay for an ER visit because they deem it not to be an emergency, there's nobody stopping them. Where is the legislative holds on this stuff of you deciding what gets covered? You're not in that ER. You're not with that doctor. You just ignore the note. And I'm going to tell you, I did it. I had to fix it for a friend of mine. Went in there with GI bleed, okay? Bleeding from the stomach from an ulcer. And they said it wasn't an emergency. And they didn't pay it. And so I had to help write a letter stating, this is by definition, a life-threatening issue. And she ended up getting it paid. But had I not helped, she would have been on the hook for that whole ER bill. Can you imagine that happening across the country? And it is. And nobody, and that's why you're seeing 80%, you know, bankruptcies and people hurting themselves because they're just totally depressed. That's not a system that's workable. And subsidizing the same old is unethical and immoral, honestly, if you really want to drop it down to the underlying, the foundation. And the people who are writing these laws does not apply to them. You know that they aced themselves out of this Senate bill, so it was not going to apply to them or their aides. They have no shame at all. Maybe it's time that we take a step back from them and stop voting these guys in. Just every incumbent needs to go. Period. What are they doing for us except making us hate each other, costing us money, taking our money in taxes, and telling us we should be happy that they're there for us? They're only there for us every 2 years or every, 4 years or 6 years, whenever. That's the only time they're there for us. And then as soon as they get in, they do something completely different. I'm sorry, I just can't take it anymore.
It's absurd. It's beyond, just like we were talking before the show started. I'm so sick and tired of seeing some representative, some senator, come on, woe is me, I'm the only one that's ever stood up for my constituents. And he's lying through his teeth. This whole replacing Obamacare, the whole tax issue. There's an answer, and unfortunately, you know, what I'm seeing, and we voted to get results, and we haven't gotten it. So it's opening the door for the other side of the fence, which I can't support them at all.
Well, they don't stand for anything. They just stand against things.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they were honest brokers in this, then they would say, let's fix it because it isn't working. Let's see what we can come up with as a compromise. But they don't want that. They actually want to be obstructionist. They want single payer. But so do the Republicans. They both want the same thing. It's just they have a different method of getting there. And it's rhetoric.
All you have to do is look north to single payer. Look.
It doesn't work. I mean, they have... in a couple weeks, we're going to have a guest from the Health City Cayman Islands. It's a freestanding, you know, private facility in Cayman Islands that sees Americans, Canadians, all through the Caribbean, people who are looking for cost-effective care. They do a lot of cardiac, ortho, that sort of thing. But it's a fraction of what it costs. And the gentleman I spoke with yesterday said they see a ton of Canadians because they don't want to wait for their care. So is it better to have free stuff, but you can't access it because it takes 10 years to get it? Nobody even thinks about these things. They just want to win. It all sounds good on paper. But be honest about it. It's not awesome in the UK. They're going bankrupt. They've had to have some of it privatized or private people come in and oversee it. They have poor access to care. The physicians in their system go on strike. They're miserable. Then now they're being told you need to work longer and get paid less. That's the system. It doesn't work. The only thing that really works is to get out of everybody's way and let it find its own level. And let's talk about capitalism when we come back, because what we're dealing with now is not capitalism. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
This is Dr. George from Peachtree ENT Center. We've won patient care awards and have the highest patient recommendations because we believe in practicing medicine the old-fashioned way. Practicing good medicine is based in listening to the patient and making a care plan that is individual. The best medical care is given when there is a strong doctor-patient relationship built on mutual trust and respect. At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking care of the whole patient because healing is more than writing a prescription. Whether you have problems hearing, have frequent throat or sinus infections, from the time you call our office and speak to a real person, you'll be treated as an individual and not as an ailment. During your visit, you will not be rushed and all your questions will be answered. When possible, natural treatments will be recommended to fix the problem. If surgery is recommended, cost-effective, minimally invasive treatment for snoring, sleep apnea, or sinus problems will be offered because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, this is an opportunity because I think if you have discernment or if you're learning to have discernment, something shouldn't feel right about this. And it's been uncovered. All the motivations, in my opinion, have been well uncovered. This is not a Trump issue. It is a Congress issue. The president can't make legislation. And he's done what he's supposed to do to try to unhook all of us from the system with the executive order to get rid of the mandate. It's gone. It's been gone since, 2-3 months now. All of this fighting on Capitol Hill is a waste of time. I think we've made some, some headway in the sense that this Senate thing didn't pass, and they're now talking about just repeal. That's better than nibbling around the edges and, in my opinion, funding Obamacare, because that's really what the Senate and House bill does. Or they just fund it. They give the money for exchanges. They give the money to the insurance companies. They give bailouts to the states to expand Medicaid. It's not making it smaller. It's actually making it larger and shoring up the underpinning. It'll never go away if the Senate bill passes.
Okay, we repeal it or they repeal it. Then where are we?
Then we need to get everybody back on board, Democrat and Republican. We both want the same thing, and that is for health care to be cost-effective, for people to be able to see the doctor that they want and get the care that they need. Anything that makes it top-down, something deciding what constitutes care, and not the doctor and patient, is totally the wrong approach, right? So repeal everything. Let's sit at the table and do certain things that help the system work better. One is to empower the patient to be a consumer. How about some price transparency? They never talk about price transparency. Why? Because it's the people who are driving these things that's giving them money. Let's make the hospitals list their prices for an admission and for their services. I'm sure every independent doctor, if they're not already doing it, would be happy to list their prices, because I can tell you when you put them up against the hospital, winning, you know, it's $195 to walk into our office to be seen. It's probably $350 or more in a hospital to do the same ENT visit if you get to see the doctor there. If you don't see the physician assistant, if the doctor doesn't spend 7 minutes with you, right? And at the end of the visit, write a prescription no matter what. So if you know now that you can compare, that changes patient behavior. I don't care if you have money or not. Which patient wouldn't want to go to a doctor that's going to spend 45 minutes to an hour getting to know them, asking them questions, really getting to be their advocate versus someone who's going to make you wait for 3 hours in a clinic, have a different person every time you go, charge you for the privilege, and it's so bad, it's so expensive, you just go to the ER because you know you don't have to pay up front. Which system would you pick, right? Would you not pick a direct primary care where it's $60 a month, $120 or so for a family of four to go in? Every time you think you have a problem, you can just walk in and not have to whip out your wallet, that you can get medication dispensed at the time of service for nothing or a couple of bucks. Which one would you pick? Would you pick a doctor who you can call up on the weekends at night and get them, as opposed to some service that who knows if they even answer the phone and tell you anyway, if it's a problem, go call 911. Which one would you pick? Okay? So this is now a parallel system. The problem is, on our side, we're not savvy. And we don't have the money to advertise and to get in people's faces. That's why the show exists, because part of it is letting people know, bringing the people in that don't have the voice, so they can let people know that there's an option, there's a choice. You don't have to do the same thing, expect a different result. Price transparency is one of the most important things that can be done on a legislative level. The second thing is the health savings account fiasco. Stop tying it to stupid insurance companies. For God's sake, they get to decide, you save your money, and they get to decide how you spend it. That makes absolutely no sense. And now they want to put it in so you can use your money to pay your premium. Does that help you with your coinsurance? Does that help you with your deductible? You're still screwed. So now you're taking your money to do something that you still can't afford the service. They need to leave us alone. Leave us alone to find the best way to do it. And let patients decide. If you like the government in your business, have at it. Good luck to you. Let them find out everything about you, about how many guns you have in your home, whether your child thinks he's a boy or a girl, how many people live in your home, have you ever tried to kill yourself. Let them find all that out. Have a good time. For those that don't want that, they need to have an option. And if everybody's happy with their level, the system actually works better, because something will grow up to help that side of the healthcare system. Instead of this one-size-fits-all, drive everybody into a system that's too expensive, doesn't work, inefficient, and doesn't practice good medicine, so everybody can have money taken from them. That's ridiculous. Government isn't the answer. Legislation isn't the answer. And I personally believe that if patients start withdrawing their money from the system, just like anything, the market, capitalism really is the market forces driving something. What we have now is crony capitalism. That means you have a public-private partnership. You have the government picking winners and losers. Look at Amazon. Did you see that article about how every package that they send, the government subsidizes like $1.40 of it? How much money does Amazon make? They still need a freebie? Look at Tesla. They're pissed off because the carbon emissions thing didn't go through, the global warming thing didn't go through, so they won't get money to make cars, subsidizing them making cars. It's welfare, corporate welfare. That's what crony capitalism is. It's not capitalism. Capitalism means you and I compete for someone's business, and we better be good or be unique or give someone some value, or we won't stay open. And it's always in the customer's interest when you have true capitalism, because it gets cheaper, better, faster. Look at plastic surgery and LASIK. Commercial came off for $250 an eye. It used to be $2,000 an eye. Now it's $250 an eye for LASIK surgery. They have better lasers, better equipment, better technique, and it's cheaper. Now if the government had gone in there, it would be $10,000. It would take you 10 years to get in. I'm just being, you know. And it would be using the same old equipment.
And how do you feel about Canada paying the terrorists to kill the U.S. soldier $8 million because he had to go to Guantanamo?
I don't know what to say about that, except it's appalling.
And we just paid $200,000 to rehab a terrorist that didn't get rehab.
But you can't pay for a Medicare patient to go to a physician, a skilled nursing home,
yeah,
or get a hip replacement, or have a child get some, you know, specialized care. You can't do that. But we allow this to happen because we don't stand up for our rights, for what is right. We don't stand up for it. We expect someone to handle it for us, to take care of us, to have our best interests at heart. I just explained for the last hour why they don't have our best interests at heart. If you think their rhetoric is going to make a difference down the road, after they've proven over and over and over again that their word means nothing and that they both want the same thing, and it's, you know, they slap, oh, my good friend, my, you know, the Congress, you know, lingo of my good friend, this and this. That's okay. That's all I can say.
No, I was just, and I want to get back to this on another show at some point. How many patients, and I know that there are people out there. I love seeing you come in every Wednesday, but I really don't think I want to. I go to the doctor when I need to go to the doctor. I don't go to the doctor because he's my best friend. Certainly not the dentist. But anyway, beyond that, you know, we have, Congress needs to look at it from the real perspective, the real issue. Yeah, they're not, you know, they take it from the standpoint, well, everybody's going to the doctor so they can have a chat with the doctor, whether they need it or not. Granted, there may be 1-2% out there that do that. But the majority, I personally don't have anything against my doctor, but I hate going to see him. I don't want to go see him. I'm happy staying away from him. So I'm not using my insurance to the fullest, I guess, because I don't go every time at a drop of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to get realism. We've got to get realistic, the word realistic, back into all of Congress and all of the things that we're talking about, or it's never going to work.
It's true, and that means we need to start taking the forefront. You know, we need to start holding them accountable. They don't really have a consequence. Somehow it's amnesia every time the voting rolls around. I don't think on either side people are happy. On the Democrat, Republican, or whatever, neither one of them are working for us. They're trying to stay in power, demonize the other side, paralyze the system so nothing changes. And until we decide we're not going to play the game, they will continue to do what they're doing to us. There's plenty of options on the healthcare side. You don't have to do this. I refuse to do this. Go to my website, drelenageorge.com. You can see all the links. We talk about it every week. I hope that my listeners are actually taking advantage of this. On that note, I want to say thank you, and it's been a pleasure, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
.com. You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.